Let us pray. This is church, and we are church. Lord, you have called us by name, and we pray that as we hear your message for us today, you would help us to live out our faith and make us worthy of our calling. Amen. A student of theology living in Oxford once had his car broken into. The car was found stripped of everything, of all its fixtures and fittings. But all that was left on the passenger seat was that theology student's copy of the Greek New Testament. Remarking on this, the police officer investigating the crime said to the student, it looks like the thief must have had their own copy. What we leave behind and what we take with us is the question to the church this morning from God's word. Firstly, what do we leave behind us? And the question will be on the screen. Well, let's look to the gospel reading we heard from Mark chapter 6 for some examples. Mark describes how Jesus comes home. But there is no ticker tape parade, no headlines saying, "Welcome Jesus, local boy made good." Instead, Jesus is welcomed with a mixture of amazement and skepticism. And many were offended by Jesus. Their knowledge of him became a stumbling block. They would trip up over the facts. Surely this is the carpenter's son who left behind his tools and his trade and his family. But we know him, we know his family. How can he work these wonders? Here is a reminder. Skeptics and cynics about Jesus, then and now, can focus too much on the question, how is this? How can this be? And not on the more subtle question, why? Why is this happening? Why is Jesus doing this? They stumble over their rigid and preconceived ideas about Jesus. So, amazed by their lack of receptivity, Jesus quickly moves out of his hometown to receive a greater welcome. And here is an important lesson for us. Those who thought they knew Jesus the best actually knew him the least. And if you are not from a Christian family, then that might be your experience too. Those who think they know you best don't know you fully. They know where you have come from. They know your background and your past. And some of that might be checkered. But they don't get who you are now in Christ, and they do not understand the person you are becoming. You might be, like Jesus, misunderstood and rejected, not taken seriously. But with Jesus, you are in good company. You know, wherever we come from today, whatever our stance, whether we're a believer or an atheist, or somewhere in between, an insider or an outsider, We can never say with pride, we know everything there is to know about Jesus, that we have him in our pocket, because he constantly surprises us. So here's what we must leave behind first. We must leave behind our blinkered preconceptions, our cynicism, and any hard-heartedness to the gospel. If we're not ready to listen to the truth, then we will not hear it. How are you responding to Jesus this morning? Are you putting out the welcome mat or putting up the no entry sign? Let's leave behind those misconceptions. Well, what else do we leave behind? As Jesus prepares his disciples for their first faltering steps on mission, he instructs them, take nothing for the journey except. And before we come to what he tells them to take with them, let's think of that. Take nothing for the journey except. Except what? Well, for me and perhaps for you, quite a lot of things. When we go on a journey, our family likes to take with us as much as we possibly can. I don't know if you're the same. Perhaps you know someone like that. Cram the suitcase, fill the car boot, take the kitchen sink. Travel light? You must be kidding. No. Prepare for every eventuality. And you see, all of that is about fear. We're driven by fear. We might need that item. We must take it. And we want home comforts wherever we go. We must be self-sufficient. And in our life journey, we all carry excess baggage. But contrast that to Jesus' team talk to his disciples, those who had left behind their nets, their livelihoods, their families. With very little, it seems, for them to leave behind, Jesus now says to them, in effect, leave behind your begging bag, your bread, and your brass. Take nothing for the journey. Isn't Jesus being too harsh, too unrealistic, too demanding? Now, it's true, of course, that you and I live in a very different time of Jesus' disciples, although the heat today is very much like the heat in the Holy Land, and the desert areas are oppressively hot, and you feel for those disciples when they were sent out in that heat. The 21st century looks very different from the first century. We have mortgages or rent to pay. We have financial commitments, duties, and families' responsibilities that we must keep to. We can't just leave everything and everyone. And probably God doesn't want us to. Your family might, but God doesn't want us to. But we know that some do renounce everything, all things for God, and they withdraw from the world completely. And you know, probably we need such people. We need such prophets on the edge of things to remind us of the call to live more simply. But for us, Monday is coming. Even so, Jesus' words, take nothing for the journey, startle us and challenge us, makes us think about how we view this world and life, our possessions. We know possessions can possess us. Created things can take the place of the Creator. It's not true that he who dies with the most toys wins. Narrow is the door which leads to life. You see, the world tells us through advertising and media what we can't live without. But here in the Word, Jesus tells us what we can live without. How we can live more with a looser attachment to the world. So, our God-given commitments and obligations should not weigh us down or burden us or become our greatest treasure or greatest security. We are pilgrims called to live with open hands and open hearts, ready to give, ready to receive. So what else do we leave behind? Well, we leave behind our independence, and that's hard. But if I rely on my own careful planning for every eventuality, surely I am less open to what God might have waiting for me. I'm less likely to trust God to provide daily bread, the bare necessities. And we're learning this morning that the bare necessities are more bare than perhaps we'd thought. But if we already have everything we need, surely we are less able to receive the gifts of those we meet along the way. Those disciples relied on the hospitality of strangers. In 2018, are we neglecting the art of hospitality? Offering it, receiving it. I'm sure you'll agree it's harder to be a guest than it is to be a host. As a guest, we are not in control. We eat what we are given, and the rules are different from at home. But there is much to receive and celebrate in hospitality. And God is faithful. God is faithful. The Gospel writer Luke tells us that towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus would ask his disciples, "When I sent you out without money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything?" They replied, "Nothing." God is true to his word. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So Jesus teaches us today what we should leave behind. Are you all okay still? Yes. Let's move on then to the second question. What should we take with us in our mission? How does Mark chapter 6 answer that? Well, firstly, we take each other. Jesus did not send them out on their own, but in twos. We don't walk alone. We have one another on the journey. Good support for each other. What else? Well, Jesus instructs them to take only a staff, sandals and a shirt. Let's think about those things. What does the pilgrim's staff symbolize? Well, certainly support. but also leadership. Think of Moses and Aaron in the Old Testament. A staff is a symbol of God's power and authority. Likewise, we were told that Jesus' disciples were sent out with authority over the evil spirits. And secondly, the pilgrim's staff reminds us of a measuring stick. Mentioned in the book of Revelation, God, through his disciples, shows what is crooked and what is straight in our world. And the staff symbolizes the rod of correction. Not cruelty, but disciples are to nudge others back into God's way. Turn them around. That's repentance. And lastly, the pilgrim's staff reminds us of the scepter. Disciples bring in God's kingly rule. And then the sandals. Take sandals on your feet. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, "Your God reigns." Words of Isaiah chapter 52. And Paul in Ephesians 6:15, "Have your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace." In your walking, are you leaving behind a footprint of peace? Are you a non-anxious presence at home, at school, at college, in the workplace? May we travel in peace. Yes, we collect dust, especially in this weather. We collect dust. But Jesus is always ready to cleanse us and forgive us when we go astray. He leads us back to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And then the shirt. And we're all wearing different shirts, hopefully something light today. You might wear a formal shirt. You might wear a football shirt. And many will still be wearing them this week. You might wear a floral Hawaiian shirt, a t-shirt, a back-to-front clerical shirt, a school shirt, a work shirt, uniform. Whatever it might be. Take a shirt, Jesus says to them. But only one, he says, so make sure it's washable. In other words, be yourself. Whatever you like to wear, just be yourself. You are good enough. The dress code is fine. Take a shirt. And if it was a football shirt, then the name of Jesus would be on the back of it. Because you're on the winning team. You're on the victory side. So what else do we take? We take the staff, we take sandals, we take the shirt. And of course, I mustn't end without saying, we take with us the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of good news, beginning with that call to repentance, to turn back to God. And we take with us the healing touch of Jesus. And we take our brokenness, our imperfections. And with Paul, we take that thorn in the flesh, our weakness, whatever it might be that makes us lean on God more hard than if it was not there. The story is told of a one-legged schoolteacher from Scotland called George Scott, who came to the pioneer missionary J. Hudson Taylor to offer himself for missionary service in China. And Hudson Taylor asked him, "With only one leg, why do you think of going as a missionary?" And Scott replied, "I do not see those with two legs going." He was accepted. He went. So don't let your imperfections or those things that would make you reluctant hinder you from saying yes. God accepts our brokenness, our imperfections. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And we have hope of transformation. Jesus is changing us. We are being made new. We are a creation in progress. So lastly, take with you that vision of God's future. That vision of journey's end when we lay down our staff in worship, when we exchange our filthy rags for robes of righteousness, and we don't need shoes because we're on holy ground, worshipping at the feet of Jesus. Take with you that vision of journey's end, when he welcomes his weary pilgrims home. Until that day, let us again say yes as Jesus sends us out to be his disciples, to make disciples. This day, as we receive bread and wine, and throughout this week, let us audit our lives. Align our priorities with his. Travel light. Travel on. Leave behind what you must. Take what is essential. Set your feet firmly in the way of Christ. Amen.